You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
Good morning, folks.
Morning, Dan and Danette.
Morning.
Here we are. Another day, another Dan Patrick Show. If you'd like to watch, Peacock.
Peacock. I like the way you say Peacock.
If you want to listen later, download the podcast.
Download.
But right now, 3 hours live of the best sports talk on the air. Welcome to the Dan Patrick Show.
I love Dan Patrick. Oh, my God.
Home to the biggest guests and best sports talk on radio.
I love it.
One of my favorites.
Normally, home to Dan Patrick.
Hope you'll miss us.
But today, Dan and the Danettes are off.
Don't see another radio show behind my back, please.
And filling in, here's Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Sounds a little different because it is different. It is the Odd Couple. I am Chris Broussard alongside my partner, Rob Parker, and we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios, filling in for Dan Patrick. Of course, this is the Dan Patrick Show. What's up, man? How are you?
I'm doing great. Happy Thursday. Happy Jackie Robinson Day on this April 15th. And Chris, I don't know, is today still tax day? I don't even, because you know,
last year
got moved around.
After the show, I will be going out to file my taxes.
Oh, okay. You haven't done it yet, huh? That means...
Well, we've done everything. We just got to, you know, mail
it out?
Yeah.
That means you're writing a check if you ain't sent it out yet.
Yeah. But that's a blessing. But you know, you still hate to see it go.
Oh,
you still
no
hate
doubt.
To see it go,
but definitely,
yes, happy
and you
Jackie
know what?
Robinson Day to you too,
no doubt. And we'll talk about that, Chris, in the second hour,
right?
Just about his impact and if anybody else ever lived up to what Jackie Robinson did back in 1947 and after. So we'll do that.
Yes, it's going to be a great show, and we are asking you to keep it locked right here for the next 3 hours. On Fox Sports Radio, because we don't think you'll be disappointed. We got so much to get into. Basketball, football, a little bit of baseball, as Rob said. So we're going to have a lot of fun. And let's start right here, Rob. A game that I was really looking forward to. Some people thought would have been the biggest game of the year, or at least the rest of the season, for both Philadelphia and Brooklyn because of the seeding implications, the tie-breaking implications for the top two teams in the Eastern Conference. And yet, it was a dud. It actually turned out to be fairly exciting because the Nets made a rally.
Yeah, but that was the mop-up crew, and
right.
You got to be careful. I mean, Chris, you're right. The score looked great, like it was this barn burner, but they were down. Philadelphia took its foot off the gas, right? And then the reserves who don't get to play that much, they went out there and they balled out, you know.
Yep.
So it looked like
Embiid,
that was
had
great.
To get up off the bench and go back out there and make sure they won. But the reason it was a dud was because Kevin Durant was out for the Nets, Blake Griffin was out for the Nets, James Harden was out for the Nets, LaMarcus Aldridge was out for the Nets. Kyrie played, but he had sat out the game before. And Rob, I'm going to say this, and you know, you and I, of course, as do all the other analysts on TV, and you make picks, right? We pick who's going to win the Super Bowl. We pick who's going to win the NBA title and this and that. And you want to be right. You want your picks to be right. It's not so much that you're a fan of that team, but you want your picks to be right.
As an analyst, you do. Obviously,
yes.
You want to be able to – you don't want to be on TV or radio every day and be wrong all the time. You know, you
right.
want to say, like, I picked that team and they won. And that tells you my expertise. that I know what I'm talking about. So, yeah,
and we understand
that's what it
everybody is wrong. I mean, nobody's perfect all the time. And people, a lot of people are wrong more than they're right, and they're good analysts. But
if we were all right, Chris, we would be living in Las Vegas, and we wouldn't
indeed.
Be doing this, okay?
Yes,
let's
indeed.
Just be honest.
And there's a little bragging right, especially with the Odd Couple. We have fun with each other. There's a little bragging right. So you want your pick to be right. So I do want, and we both actually picked the Brooklyn Nets to win the championship. I do want them to win it because I want my pick to be right. But I got to say this, Rob. I'm a bit torn. I'm a bit torn because if the Brooklyn Nets win this championship, which I'm with that pick. I'm sticking with it. I don't think it'll be good for the NBA. I don't think it will be good for the NBA because what they are attempting to do is wholly unprecedented. I mean, if they win this championship, and I know they're an aberration because they got so much talent that most teams wouldn't be able to do this. But if they win the championship, I think the view of the regular season for the next few years will never be the same. Because they have essentially flouted the regular season. They're treating the regular season like it's the preseason. Real talk. Kevin Durant sat out on the second night of a back-to-back. Okay, I kind of get it. He could have played. It might probably wasn't even his decision. So I'm not jumping on him, but he could have played. Or he could have sat out. If you had to sit out Minnesota and played a national TV game against a top team in the league. Kyrie Irving sat out the game before. Kyrie's taking three sabbaticals, and maybe he's going through something mental, but and I want to be sensitive to that, but everybody got challenges, but you still show up for work. He's done three sabbaticals. LaMarcus Aldridge is out for some undisclosed illness, not COVID-related. You can go to the Clippers last night. Paul George sat out for rest on the second night of a back-to-back. That's why he sat out. But my point is, Rob, if they win, not to mention they got a first-year coach, never coached at any level. That's not unprecedented, but still. Their big three have played seven games together. And if they win this championship, believe you me, it's going to be more of this next year. Where Kyrie, Durant, Harden just sitting out randomly. Maybe not Harden because he tends to play. He's legitimately hurt with the hamstring. But, and you know, Rob, it's a copycat league. And I think just like people copy Greg Popovich, who started this all this rest, this could be copied as well. And that's why I don't think it'd be the greatest thing for the NBA.
Chris, I got two things to say to you. First, don't worry about your taxes today. It was extended. The IRS moved it to May 17th. So you're good.
But the wife is on me. So I
okay. But I'm just telling you, you're not going to be late. May 17th is extended. Thank you to the people who hit us up on Instagram and Twitter. All right.
Yes.
But you are a day late, a dollar short about this wrecking the NBA. I hate to break it to you. The NBA has already been wrecked, Chris Broussard.
Stop it.
LeBron James wrecked it when he went to Miami and built that super team. Yes,
what?
He wrecked the NBA from that standpoint. You remember when LeBron went to the NBA Finals 8 years in a row? You remember that? Oh, yeah. Out of the East?
That's called greatness.
Okay, and then LeBron James, I keep saying, started MySpace, and the Warriors one-upped them and started Facebook when they added Kevin Durant. The Warriors, in their run, they went to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row. We got an overdose of Warriors basketball. First time since the Celtics of the 60s did a team go to the NBA Finals 5 years in a row. So now you're saying the Nets, because they've had some injuries, some guys haven't played. Chris, you know
it's
this.
It's not because of the, but I'm saying it not because of their greatness. But,
no,
you know,
you're talking about because of the,
yeah.
Right. But I'm saying LeBron James, during his time with the Cavaliers, his second stint, took his foot off the gas, didn't play hard, missed some games because he realized being the number one seed in the East didn't matter. And so LeBron has already done this, and the Nets are saying, we're not going to kill ourselves. I'm with you. If I'm a fan, and Chris, if I was a fan pre-COVID and I bought tickets to a game and these guys are sitting out, if I was ESPN last night, I want a refund on my NBA deal last night.
Man.
I'm serious.
Nah,
that kills you. I'm telling you, people tuned in and went, okay, what marathon is on? Is there a Wire marathon? Or you know what I mean, Chris?
Right.
Or let me binge watch something else because I wanted to see the big game showdown against Philadelphia and the Nets, and it didn't materialize because only Philadelphia was playing with a loaded gun.
Yeah, look, I'm with you on that. And that's the thing. And the players have to realize this. First of all, the owners, when they have the collective bargaining agreement and talks again, the owners are going to bring this up. And it's going to be a sticking point. There's going to be some type of clause likely put in there that players need to start playing. Because as you said it, Rob, this isn't so much punishment for the players, although it's your job. It's your job.
Are they called players?
What do players do, Chris? Right?
They play, don't
right?
they?
But beyond that, Rob, you hit it on the head. It's the fans. It's not fair. First of all, your ticket prices are through the roof, as all sports are. And so if I put down $200 to take my three sons to the game because I want to see Kawhi Leonard and Paul George against the Pacers in person, and they're sitting on the bench in street clothes, not injured. If they're injured, I get it. But if they're not and they're just sitting there, come on. So, but where I disagree with you, Rob, though, come on, man. First of all, the NBA is far from ruined. I mean, you can say what you want
about
LeBron going to Miami.
Competitive balance,
but it was great for the league. They only won 2 out of 4.
I know. Well, they were
so it was
disappointed.
Still competitive, but it was still competitive.
And let me do this. 877-99 on Fox. Chris, let's throw out the number in case people want to chime in.
877-996-6369. If you want to talk about this, yeah, would it be bad for the league? Call in now. Would it be bad for the NBA if Brooklyn wins it just because of the precedent it's setting? Other teams may follow. The regular season will be diminished even more. That's my concern,
right?
I want Brooklyn to win it, but that's my concern.
I hear your concern, but we're already in that era of super teams. Only a couple teams have it. LeBron started it, Chris, and now everybody's one-upped it. So like I've said before, if LeBron was MySpace and the Warriors were Facebook, I guess the Nets are Instagram now. I mean, it is a out-of-control monster.
Yeah, the Nets are like Tesla or something. They could be the best of all of them.
It's just the point that this is where we are, and it is bad. And when I say it's ruined, I mean what I consider competitive balance. We'll probably never see a starless team like the Detroit Pistons in 2004 beat a star-studded team like the Los Angeles Lakers with Kobe and Shaq, who had already won 3 in a row, Chris, and then added 2 more stars.
Carl
and
Malone,
I know they were
Gary
aged,
Payton.
But Gary Payton and Karl Malone. So I don't think we'll ever see another team like that win a championship. And that's sad to me. Because
that was
unexpected, and that was great only because
it was great
nobody
because
expected
it. You were a columnist
it.
In Detroit. Nobody sitting there, oh, my gosh, Detroit, it was so great. Look, first of all, they had talent. You know that.
I
mean, Charles Phillips may yet get in the Hall of Fame. Rasheed Wallace was a top number one pick type talent. But your point is well taken. But, Rob, remember, look, they were the second team in like the last 40 some odd years to do that. It was the Seattle Supersonics in 1979 and then the Detroit Pistons in 2004. Outside of that, it's always been star-studded teams. And my thing is this. First of all, I actually do think there's competitive balance this year because I think while Brooklyn is stacked, Philadelphia is a legit contender. Milwaukee is a legit contender. And then, Rob, in the West, yes, the two LA teams are great, but you can't sleep on Denver, especially before Jamal Murray went down. That's unfortunate. Phoenix is looking surprisingly good, and Utah is there. Now, I think the LA teams are better, but these aren't scrubs that they're just going to step out there and walk over. So I think competitive balance is there, number one. And number two, we all love the 80s. You and I, that's what we grew up watching. You start covering the NBA in the 80s.
Yes, but, 1987.
And yeah, and there were, I mean, Rob, only five teams actually made the finals. Forget winning it. Made the finals in the 80s. And it was the golden era. So I'm fine with dominant teams. I didn't have a problem with Golden State going to five straight finals or LeBron going to eight straight finals. My problem is when the regular season becomes belittled to such a degree that I can't count how many big games I've been looking forward to watching. And because guys are out for injury or rest or whatever, they're not a big game anymore.
No doubt. All right, Chris, we got a few calls. Let's jump on these. Justin in Mobile, Alabama. You're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Hey, what's up, guys?
How are you, man?
All right. Yeah, I agree with you too, though, because like I thought The Last Dance would motivate players to strive and be stronger. And you know, Jordan didn't really take rest days. Like rest days, what is that? You know, like
Jordan played 82 games his last year in the NBA
as a 40-year-old.
Yes, his last year.
And I don't blame LeBron for what he did. Now, Kevin Durant was a different topic because he went to a team that beat him. But LeBron, people keep saying that he built this super team, but I always thought the Celtics built the super team.
No, the Celtics made trades. The two players they brought in were trades. They weren't free agents. Thanks for the call,
Justin. Yeah, but they were Hall of Fame players.
Yeah, but it wasn't built the same way. That's all I'm saying. Team.
But there David, were Hall of Fame players that ganged up on LeBron. Can you name a Hall of Fame player that LeBron played with before he came
yeah,
back
Shaq.
To the
league? No. Yeah, Shaq. I'm with you. Yeah, but Shaq was old by that point. Like, I'm with you in that. And I actually wrote a column before LeBron went to Miami saying he may have to team up with a Hall of Fame teammate to contend with the Celtics.
Thanks for the call, Justin.
The deck was stacked. So I'm with you on that one.
David in Oklahoma, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. Sorry about that. No, David. Okay, Matt in Missouri, you're on the Dan Patrick Show, Fox Sports Radio. What's up, Matt?
Hey, fellas, how's it going? You're doing a great job filling in for Dan.
Thank you.
Because I've never called into Dan's show. 6'2", 220.
Okay.
Big dude. All right.
Yeah. Hey. So I live in Missouri, like you said. I'm a Lakers fan, have been my entire life. You know, when the Lakers come to Oklahoma City to play the Thunder, we try to get tickets. That's the only time I can get to a Lakers game. And I don't know where you guys are going, but three tickets for $200 would be super cheap.
No. Chris was just making it up. Right. We know that that's not the problem.
I haven't had to pay for a game in a while, so I'm with you. Yeah, my bad.
$200 a ticket if you don't want to sit up on the top row. Right. Man, if I show up to a game, I'm shelling out $400 or $500, and the Lakers' best players aren't playing because they're resting. I mean, that's a killer to me. You know,
gone to a game there and a top player was resting?
Yeah, we had back in when they had Howard and Nash. Now I know they had some injuries, but there were a couple players that weren't playing that were just resting that time. And it's super disappointing. I feel like if they're going to rest, they should have to rest at home games.
Yes, not on the road. I agree, Matt. Yep. No doubt. Thanks for the call. We appreciate you.
Thanks, guys.
Can we squeeze one more in, Chris?
Yeah, go one more.
One more. John and Dayton, you're on the Dan Patrick Show.
Hey,
Fox Sports
Radio.
Talking
to you guys. usually listen in the evening. It's fun hearing you in the morning.
Thank you.
Thank you, man. Well, we will be on tonight, too. We're doing double duty. We don't rest.
Double dip for the Odd Couple.
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of have a different take on the rest thing. I think that, you know, we saw a few years ago one of the Warriors blew out a knee in the finals, and sometimes I wonder if that's not a sign that, you know, these guys are overdoing it. Although I really like the suggestion from the last caller that if you, you know, if you're going to rest, maybe rest on a home game. But sometimes I think that, you know, I don't know. I just think that when I hear about these players getting injured, I wonder sometimes if it's worth saying, no, they got to play every night because, you know, there might be a kid in the stands that was hoping to watch them play. I think it's in the 82-game schedule, it might be part of the game. Just a different take on it.
All right. Appreciate the call.
All right. Good calls, guys, and we got plenty more. We got Matt Miller, the ESPN draft analyst, coming up in a few minutes. So definitely keep it locked right here on the Dan Patrick Show with the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 to noon Eastern or 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Dan Patrick Show at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR. Or stream us live on the Peacock app.
All right, welcome back to the Dan Patrick Show. We are the Odd Couple, Chris Broussard and Rob Parker filling in for Dan. We're coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. Great time to have in our next guest. He is an ESPN draft analyst, and you will be able to see him across all of the ESPN platforms as we near the 2021 NFL draft, and that'll be Matt Miller as soon as he joins us here on the Dan Patrick Show. But Rob, what are you most looking for? Look, we know at the top of the draft is Trevor Lawrence going number one, and it looks like it's going to be Zach Wilson going number two to the Jets. What are you most looking forward to in this draft?
To be honest, it's just who's the first pick. After that, I think
like the first pick after Zach Wilson or period?
Well, I'd just like to see like who's the first pick in the draft.
You know it's Trevor.
Okay, well, then there's my excitement then,
nothing?
You know? I mean,
Give me something, Parker.
No, I mean, I'll watch the highlights of the draft and I'll, you know, find out. But I've just followed drafts in the past, Chris. You know, I've been doing sports talk radio since 1994.
Right.
And follow drafts and follow people's mock drafts and stuff. And everybody's different. And most people don't, you know, are like at 15 or 20% clip right. So I don't think anybody really knows. You know what I mean? Like,
I think Matt Miller would beg to differ.
Well, I want
right
to find
here,
out.
Rob. We're gonna find out. Matt Miller, welcome in. How
What's
are
up?
You?
I'm doing well, guys. Appreciate you having me on.
No, it's great to have you. Now, look, we were just talking about it. It seems like the draft's going to begin at number three as Trevor Lawrence, number one, Zach Wilson, number two to the Jets. Who do you think San Francisco's taking at number three?
I think they take Mac Jones.
It's interesting because a few weeks ago it was like all Mac Jones. Then it seemed like lately people talking about they might take Justin Fields. And now there's some Trey Lance talk, but you're sticking with Mac. And tell us why.
Well, yeah, so here's the deal. You're right. 3 weeks ago when the trade happened, everyone said, sounds like they're trading up for Mac Jones. I think what we're seeing happen is a lot of folks like myself saying it should be Justin Fields or it should be Trey Lance. But I think what you're seeing, like my mock draft, Mel Kiper's mock draft, Todd McShay's, Daniel Jeremiah's, everybody's mock draft still has Mac Jones to the San Francisco 49ers because a mock draft is based on what we think will happen, not what we would do. I can guarantee you if they fired John Lynch today and offered me the job, we would not be drafting Mac Jones at number three overall. But, you know, that's kind of the bet that they've made. And I hope, I really do hope, because I think Justin Fields is a fantastic quarterback prospect. I hope the 49ers are just messing with us, you know, that it's just like they're having a little fun. But here's the deal. They're on the clock, as you guys very correctly pointed out. We know who the number one pick is. We know who the number two pick is. Everybody knows. There's no mystery here. The Niners are on the clock. And when you're on the clock, you don't have to lie. Just like Jacksonville. We knew who they were picking, not just because Trevor Lawrence is the best prospect, but because Urban Meyer has basically told everybody, including Peter King, that that's who they're going to draft. So I think with the Niners, they're doing their due diligence on a lot of guys, but you don't trade up from 12 to 3 without knowing who you're going to take. So I think for all intents and purposes, it feels like the pick is they're pretty locked in on it.
Now, you mentioned Justin Fields, and you like him as a quarterback, But is the Ohio State misses with quarterbacks, is that what also hurts him? Is that so many, you know, they've won a lot of games there in the Big Ten and all the other stuff that's going on with that program. All these guys have come out, but few have panned out or been big stars as quarterbacks. Is that a part of it?
It shouldn't be. If it is, like, whoever's making that decision, yeah, whoever's making that decision as a general manager will be fired. Like, you can't win in this league by overlooking. You know, that would be like looking at Joe Burrow last year and be like, well, Jamarcus Russell was a bust, so we better not draft. And but I'm not saying it doesn't happen. I call it when people scout the helmet, not the player. Because you're looking and being like, well, Dwayne Haskins was a bust. Dwayne Haskins was a bust because he couldn't stay out of strip clubs during COVID. It had nothing to do with on-field, right? He didn't get a chance to develop because he was making bad decisions off of it. So I think with Justin Fields, a lot of it is that people are looking at that game against Northwestern when his number one receiver was out, and he had a bad day. He really did. He had a bad day. But every other quarterback is allowed to have a bad day. Zach Wilson's allowed to have a bad day against Coastal Carolina. But Justin Fields has one without his best receiver and a lot of other players on that team due to COVID. And he runs into a defense that has two All-Americans. One will be a first-round pick this year, Greg Newsome. Has a great coach in Pat Fitzgerald. And he has a bad day. And people are like, okay, well, he's not good. He can't get past first progression. That's not true. He did it against Clemson, routinely getting to third and fourth progression. So I think what happens, guys, is we overthink prospects. I've fallen trapped to it as well. It happens. And you try to understand why it happens. You try not to do it again. But we overthink players. And I think with Justin Fields, he's been good for so long. There's a little bit of fatigue involved with that. And everybody likes the shiny new toy instead of really digging in on the player that we've known has been good for a long time.
Matt Miller, ESPN NFL draft analyst, joining the Dan Patrick Show. All right, Matt, we saw a great article yesterday. I think it came out yesterday in SI.com on Trevor Lawrence. And you saw the quotes that have some people alarmed and others think they're fine from Trevor Lawrence saying, you know, well, about Trevor Lawrence saying he's not driven by Super Bowls. He could, his high school coach says he could walk away right now and be fine, you know, walk away from football. Trevor himself saying it's unhealthy just to obsess over, you know, getting better and I got to get better at this and that. What is your take on this? And also, from people you're talking to around the league, obviously he's still going number one, but has this cause given some people some pause on how great they think Trevor Lawrence will end up becoming?
Oh, yeah. Yesterday, this is all anyone talked about yesterday, and even this morning I woke up and I had a couple texts about it because people were like, man, did you see this? Yeah. Mm.
And these are people in the league.
It's a little weird. Yeah, people within the NFL. And I'm going to be honest, it is. It's not what you're used to from a quarterback prospect. And I'm a big Trevor Lawrence fan. I think most people are. But I was sitting here this morning even trying to think, who's the last great quarterback who didn't, like, need football? Like, Tom Brady is 43 years old and, like, 7 Super Bowls, and he's still driven to just beat people and compete and be the best. You know, Aaron Rodgers, the chip on his shoulder from being a JUCO quarterback, from falling in the draft. I think to be a great quarterback, you have to have, whether it's real or created, you have to have something that pushes you and drives you. And, you know, it's like, especially because, like, football is hard in the NFL. And if you don't love it, if you don't need it, it's going to be easy to, like, oh, well, I made my money. I'm set for life. I'm good. I'm not saying that Trevor Lawrence is wired like that. And I think you would hope that, like, once he gets into the league and gets a little more, like, a taste of what it's like as a professional, he would almost fall in love with it a little bit. But I'm going to be honest with you. Reading it, I was a little concerned. It was just like, it reads like a guy who likes football but doesn't love it. And as weird as this might sound, that is one of the first questions as an evaluator that you have to ask is, does this guy love football or does he just like it? Like, what? How invested is he in this game? You know, is this his livelihood or is it something he loves? You know, it's a matter of, do you like playing football or do you want to be a football player?
But you know what? My pushback on that, and I hear what you're saying, and if you want somebody who's going to just give you the rah-rah and, oh, yeah, I live, breathe, and drink football, there are those guys, and they can't play. you know, or they're not that good.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
So you could take that guy because he gives you the spiel that you want to hear and how much he loves football, but he's not talented or not talented enough. So isn't that, you got to be careful of that. Just because a guy has a diverse personality or life, and you know it's not the end all be all, doesn't mean he can't play the sport and isn't talented.
No, absolutely not. Those are different things. But I think you have to look at when. So Trevor Lawrence has never lost, but he's lost two games in college. He's going to go to the team that was last year the worst in the NFL. If you don't absolutely love football and you go 2-14 next year, it's going to be hard. Like that, we talk to quarterbacks every year, guys who've never lost in college, their first picks, the top five picks, and they go somewhere. Sam Darnold goes to the Jets, starts losing. He's never experienced that before. It's hard for these guys, and I think you have to have that little thing in you that pushes you to be better and to compete. And I hope that Trevor Lawrence has that because he's one of the best quarterback prospects that we've seen in the last 15 years. But when things get hard and complicated and you're not having the success, and it's not as much fun as Clemson was, like, what's going to push you to be better? And, like, the quotes from Sports Illustrated doesn't really make it sound like he has that push to be better when this adversity strikes. Again, I hope that that's not the case, and, like, maybe he's just kind of a laid-back guy. You know, Justin Herbert last year, that was the thing, very laid-back. Some people really didn't like that about him, and he was the third quarterback drafted.
He balled out. He played great, too.
Exactly. So you can be okay as a guy who's pretty laid-back, and you know, I love football, but I don't need it. Like, that's okay. That's a well-adjusted human being, right? I don't need this, but I love it. And I think that's the key is, like, do you love this enough that when it gets hard, that you're going to push through and try to be better at it?
All right, Matt, you mentioned Trey Lance earlier. And obviously, you know, a lot of people aren't that familiar with him because he played at North Dakota State. So tell us about him first. What his game is like, what you like or don't like about him, how you think he'll do at the next level, and where you think he could end up going in the draft.
Yeah, I love Trey Lance. Unfortunately, we only got to see one game in 2020 because of COVID. But if you go back to 2019, guys, he threw 28 touchdowns, ran for 12 touchdowns, and didn't have one interception. It's like video game numbers watching him play. And he's strong. He's 6'3". He's 225. He's compact. He's athletic. He can move to extend the play. He can move to run. He's coming out of a system at North Dakota State that's very pro-style in terms of how much he was asked to be under center, how much he was asked to turn his back to the offensive line. It was more of a run-heavy scheme. He wasn't throwing the ball 40 or 50 times a game, but he was accurate. He's got a very good deep ball. I think he just has to clean up some mechanical things. He has to speed up his process a little bit. But when I watch Trey Lance, I see someone who will start in the NFL for a long time, maybe not as a rookie, but he'll start in the NFL for a long time. And I think his stock is he could go 4 to the Atlanta Falcons. He could go 9 to the Denver Broncos, or we could see a team trade up to select him because he really is a nice prospect. He's young as well. You know, he's 20 years old. And as a redshirt freshman, was the best player in the FCS level. So that says a lot about, you know, his ability and what type of player you're getting, what type of maturity you're getting as well.
A lot of people in the NFL is not usually high on drafting a tight end in the first round. What about Kyle Pitts and what kind of player he is and where is he going?
Yeah, Kyle Pitts is not just a tight end. That's like, I heard someone say it the other day, and I love this. You got to take the initials off the front of his name because he's just a special all-around athlete. He as well could go number 4 overall. He could go 5. He could go 6. I think he's pretty much locked into one of those 3 spots, 4, 5, or 6. The better question might be who drafts him because we could see a team trade up to select him. We could see Atlanta just say, hey, he's the best non-quarterback in the draft. We're going to take him right here at 4. So I don't think he's going to have a very long wait on Thursday night because he really is one of the best players in this draft. I mean, I think him, Trevor Lawrence, and Ja'Marr Chase from LSU are all right there in that conversation.
Yeah, I was going to – you mentioned he's more than a tight end. I could easily see him playing a lot of wide out. Talk about that. And also, is there a comp, like a current guy in the NFL that you would or even historically that you would compare to Kyle Pitts?
Yeah, you guys are going to chuckle at this, I think. But I compared him to Mike Evans, the wide receiver for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Because like I just haven't seen – I remember watching Mike at A&M. And he was so big. He was like 235, but he just boxed people out. And he was just, you could tell he was the most athletic guy on the field. And I remember writing in my scouting report of him just being like, I don't know where he's going to play in the NFL. You might have to move him around a little bit. But anywhere you line him up, he's going to win. And I feel that way about Kyle Pitts, too. You can line him up out as an X wide receiver. You can put him at tight end. You can make him a H-back. Wherever you put him, he's so athletic that he's going to win. And so I think that's what makes him so exciting, is that I've never seen a player like him, Kyle Pitts, because he's actually a little bigger than Mike Evans. He's running a low 4.4 at 6'6", 245. There aren't many dudes like that. And, you know, he's a decent blocker. That's what gets lost, too. People are like, oh, he's just a wideout. But he's actually a pretty decent blocker, too. So you can just, like, don't take him off the field. Draft him, leave him out there, all three downs, get him the ball as much as you can.
Matt, great stuff, man. We appreciate it. He's an ESPN draft analyst, and you can check him out over the next few weeks on all ESPN platforms get ready for the 2021 NFL draft. Great stuff, man. We appreciate it.
And Matt, I'm going to check out your percentage on how many you nailed in this draft. I want to see, you know?
In a couple weeks, we'll redo this. We'll find that hit rate.
All right, brother. Thank you very much. We appreciate
it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks for listening to the Dan Patrick Show podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday morning, 9 until noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. And you can find us on the iHeartRadio app at FSR or stream us live on the Peacock app.
Hey, it's me, Rob Parker. Check out my weekly MLB podcast, Inside the Parker, for 22 minutes of piping hot baseball talk featuring the biggest names and newsmakers in the sport. Whether you believe in analytics or the eye test, we've got all the bases covered. New episodes drop every Thursday, so do yourself a favor and listen to Inside the Parker with Rob Parker on the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, this is the Dan Patrick Show, but this is not Dan Patrick. This is Chris Broussard, and I'm joined by my partner, Rob Parker. We are the Odd Couple, and we are coming to you live from the Fox Sports Radio studios. And Rob, do you really follow? You've really tracked the NFL draft, mock drafts, and is it about 15-20% accuracy?
I just say that. I don't know what it is, but I saw.
'Cause that really sounds low.
No, but I saw last year, I remember seeing something, and it was, and I'm not picking on Mel Kiper, but it was Mel Kiper and some of these guys, Todd McShay, and it wasn't pretty, Chris. Like, I was just stunned at how many misses they had. You know what I mean? And I get it. It's real hard. You know
teams are sending smoke signals.
Signals, like, right. They don't want the other teams to know who they're going to draft. Right.
Why would I tell? I mean, just being honestly, if you were a GM, would you tell Mel Kiper?
No, you're not going to say who you're going to pick. No, I agree. So they're looking for a team's need. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then who's available? Some of the players.
What other teams are telling you about other teams? But they don't necessarily know what other teams are doing either. But that's how a lot of this works. Yeah. It's interesting. I've always heard that, you know, the accuracy was really low, but I haven't really done a check on it like you. But all right, let's stick with the NFL, Rob. Yesterday, some news. We'll see how big it is, but it's certainly a big name. And the Cleveland Browns, who are on the rise, 11 games they won last year, made the playoffs, upset, you know, I mean, in just dire straits, Rob. I mean, all the COVID racked entering that playoff game with Pittsburgh, and they still win. And then they play Kansas City. Now, granted, Pat Mahomes was hobbled, but they played Kansas City tough.
They were in that game.
Yeah, it was a good game. It was a great. They definitely, made their fans proud with that performance. And then yesterday they go out and they signed Jadeveon Clowney. And I still, Rob, can picture that hit in college. You remember that hit in college where that just put him on everybody's map when he drilled that dude in the backfield? And he's had a nice career. I think he's made 3 Pro Bowls. But, you know, hasn't, like, been Aaron Donald or anything like that. But anyway, the Browns go out and sign him. He's had some injury problems. Missed half of last season, had knee surgery, Didn't have any sacks in the 8 games he played for Tennessee. Had 3 sacks the year before. But he says he's healthy. Apparently the Browns think he's healthy. And they're looking for big things from him alongside Myles Garrett on that defensive front. And so now, Rob, a lot of people are thinking, okay, we see OBJ, we see Jarvis Landry, we see Nick Chubb, we see the defense. Baker, if y'all don't get something special done, not necessarily getting to the Super Bowl, because we obviously know Kansas City's there and some other good teams, but they're expecting a deep, competitive playoff run. And I think, Rob, at least what you're hearing out there is that some people are saying if they don't get there, it's Baker's fault.
I think that's oversimplification of football. I mean, I know we give the quarterback either all the credit or all the blame. We've seen that in Tom Brady's career and other quarterbacks where they get all the credit when teams win, and then you want to point the finger when they lose as well. But in Baker's case, I think he should feel good going into this year just about how things went. It was his best season as a pro. The team won a lot of games. They beat the Steelers in the playoffs, and they're getting reinforcements. So I don't know why he should shrink or feel like, oh my God, this is going to be too much for me because we're adding a great receiver who we didn't have, and maybe Clowney because the pressure's not on him and he's not the main guy, right, Chris?
Right. Garrett's gonna draw so much attention.
Right, Garrett will have Clowney. Right, and Clowney could maybe excel and finally stay healthy and play again, you know, and play and have an impact.
Right, he could have a big year.
Yeah, so he could. So if I'm Baker, I would feel like rejuvenated and feel like I can take another step, you know, and not feel like all the pressure. If you think that you as a starting quarterback in the NFL, you're not feeling pressure, then you must play on a dog team with no chance. You know what I mean? Because all quarterbacks competing for the playoffs, there's pressure to win. So I just think Baker will be in that group, not like an also-ran anymore. He's in a group and on a team that has a chance to make the playoffs every year.
Yeah, I agree with you there for sure. I mean, if I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm hyped, man. I'm gonna be honest, Rob. If I'm Baker Mayfield, I'm going into this season thinking Super Bowl. I really and honestly, I think any quarterback worth his salt. I mean, Josh Allen's probably thinking the same thing. Lamar Jackson as well, but I do think there's pressure on him, Rob. Well, number one, he hadn't signed his extension, and it doesn't look like he's going to before next season. So there's that. Okay, he's got to have another great year to get that huge money that we all want. Okay, and then because they're so good, kind of like you said, there is pressure on him to help this team, which on paper looks like it should be one of the top teams in the AFC, to be just that. And then, of course, OBJ's back. And he was better last year. For whatever reason, Baker was better without OBJ than he was with him last year. So that can't set him back, and it shouldn't. OBJ is a great receiver, but it'll be interesting. Baker's going to be one of the guys that we're all watching and looking to see what he does next year. All right, it is the iCouple, Chris and Rob, filling in for Dan Patrick on the Dan Patrick Show. 2 hours left. Keep it locked.